Pitch is swung on, crack, deep center field. Rafaela chasing right center gap. He leaps. It is off the wall. It skips away. Anthony's got to get it as the run scores. Anthony fires the third one hop. It is not in time, and they've realized it's a home run. Moore slides into third. Now he gets up as the fireworks display takes its time. He steps on the plate, and for the moment, they will wait and look at it. It's a walk-off two-run home run for Christian Moore.
The immortal Christian Moore.
Make me stay up to watch this nobody.
Yikes.
Hit a game-tying home run and a walk-off shot in Anaheim. Oh, he's a really high pick a couple years ago. Don't care. Nobody.
Yeah,
don't lean in there, Nick. I can see you. I can see you want to tell me about Christian Moore.
I don't know anything about him. So no.
He's hitting a .190 even with the two hits last night.
That's not bad. He'd be, what, the third?
No, I mean, he'd be out there. Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony are like, whoa.
Hey.
Well, Meyer after last night, though.
Dude, Marcelo Meyer?
That's true. Marcelo Meyer.
Nice night, sir.
Put the Red Sox in front and extras.
Our guy, Marcelo Meyer. All it was Marcelo Meyer.
Triple last night. Yeah, no, that's true. It was, well,
he was offensively.
He was a double and a dong short of the cycle.
It's true.
Give him a week. A Red Sox player, you know what? A Red Sox cycle doesn't happen in one game. It happens over the course of a week.
He'll get there.
If a player does all of that in a week, good week.
We should start doing a week or a series even. Did he hit for the cycle in the series? Like, what?
Definitely
you
not.
You could go to the month, and I think you still wouldn't get there.
Yeah. He'll get a double and a dong in short order. I believe in Marcelo Meyer.
My greatest fears with the Red Sox have been realized, Keith.
This is bad.
Back and say we've won more games than we otherwise would have because of the way that this roster is now able to come together.
Brez, I stand
That's
with
Asian
my
great,
guy.
Isn't it?
I stand with my guy Brez.
You do?
Yeah, but I you better get it figured out quick there, guy.
This is a rough-looking performance. So
they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
I mean, you'd have to agree with the president on this.
Not wrong. I mean, if you want to evaluate in real time. Now, by the way,
you can't lose Garrett Crochet games, and you can't lose Garrett Crochet games where he goes 7 scoreless.
No, and you can't lose pretty much every single game since you trade away Rafi Devers, who, by the way,
you also can't keep losing to the Angels.
No,
they're 1-4 against the Angels.
Yeah, right. They dropped 4 out of 5 against the Angels
so
far.
That's brutal.
It's not good for a bad team.
Team stinks.
Now, by the way, Giants lost again yesterday. Devers 1-for-4, I think. He's hitting barely over .200. So it's not like he's crushing it either.
No, I don't think he's necessarily going to come back and bite you. It's more this.
You can't keep losing these games. We called the last Crochet start massive because they won the series in Seattle. And it's like, dude, you just traded Devers. I'm on board with it. I think a lot of the guys in the clubhouse are on board with it. Hell, even the manager begrudgingly is on board with it. But you need to take off running. You can't lose a bunch of games and pile it up and create self-doubt. They avoided it for one series. Then they win the first game against the Giants. I'm like, boom, here we go.
Yep.
2 losses against the Giants. The last one was brutal. These first 2 games against the Angels have been brutal. Gut punch. Kick in the nuts. Late night, after midnight, losses the last couple of games. They are bad. They're the kind of losses that send the team reeling and circling the toilet. And they better dig their way out quick. Because if they don't, the whole team's going to quit. And I'll allow for maybe they already have, Keith. I thought they had more backbone than that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might be wrong about it because they're ready to just punt on the year, it feels like. They're that close to teetering.
I believe the updated number is now 9-19 in one-run games. 9-19. Is that right? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, and, well, honestly, the 9 sounds high, but yeah.
Yeah, no, they somehow scraped away 9 wins. And, you know, watching that game, you're like, I don't know if one run's going to be enough here. And because the pitches were starting to pile up, so it wasn't going to be an 8-inning game for Crochet.
No,
it was going to. I thought they made the right call.
I did too. If anybody wanted Crochet out for another inning, he was starting to labor and the pitch count was starting to get up.
But he did his job. He absolutely did his job. It was a very important game for him. They were right at .500, and he went out there and went 7, 10 punch outs. That's right. He went 7. And he left the game with the lead, albeit a very slim lead. And then first inning, he's not in the game. Boom. Game's tied. You're like,
second batter, right? I mean, what? Weiser gave up a home run to, I already forgot the guy's name. Moore? Or he gave up a home, second batter. Weiser, by the way, we went through all the Breslow moves.
Yeah. You like Weiser?
Weiser and Wilson, who the two relievers who blew the game last night. We both had them on the good moves for Breslow list, which I think they are, by the way.
Yeah.
Weissert is going the way of Brennan Bernardino. I can feel it.
Well, Weissert's got to pitch. He pitches half the games.
I know, but they use him too much, and they're using him too much in too many high leverage spots, and it's like they're good hitters are going to start to get to him, and it's like,
or
he's
just regular hitters.
He's, well, yeah, or the Christian Moores of the world. he's starting to go the way of Bernardino. I can feel they're leaning on him too much.
More like, yeah, right. They're just,
so
they're working through the bullpen, and even in a game where you only needed two innings, well, I guess three innings from the bullpen because you ended up having to go to extras. But yeah, that was demoralizing. Also, real quick, the one run that they scored in I guess regulation, as it were. Pretty sick slide by Marcelo Meyer. He could have been thrown out. I think the throw beat him.
It was a near non-run for the.
They almost didn't score.
Almost got shut out. That's true.
That was a pretty nifty little slide.
Good tag. Good slide.
Good baseball. That was a good. Tom Emanski would have loved that whole play.
Good baseball. You take the extra bag going second to third.
Smart.
You time it up.
Yep.
You tag up. You get there. Great slide.
Get him on, get him over, get him in.
Who says the Red Sox don't know how to play baseball?
Good fundamentals right there on that one play.
Yeah, that's true.
No error. One error-free game.
If you only showed that play, you'd be like, boy, that's a well-drilled, well-coached, good, talented baseball
team. These guys know how to play.
Just watch that play.
Yeah. Well, they are a game under 500 now.
So we're at the dead middle point of the year, 40-41. They're going to lose this series to the Angels. Maybe they win today, but probably not.
I don't love their chances. Yeah.
So they are officially a game under 500 at the midway point, Keith, and they are reeling.
They are. They absolutely are. And Garrett Crochet has been as good as advertised and hoped and expected. He leads the majors in strikeouts. He leads the majors in innings pitched. So everything you could have wanted out of Garrett Crochet, you got. Something that the team didn't have a year ago. All due respect, Hauk had a good year. Hauk was an all-star at this point. But Garrett Crochet, he's the absolute hoss of the season.
He's a hoss of all hosses.
And what has it done? Nothing. For the team?
Nothing. They have a worse record than they did at the midpoint last year.
And even Chapman, like, they have a better ace pitcher and they have a better closer. And you're worse. You're worse. And it's everything else around it. The lineup right now, once again, is struggling to score runs. And it was against the lefty, so you had all your lefty killers in the lineup yesterday. They weren't able to get anything done. Ref Snyder, Romy.
I got my Ref Snyder and Romy bets in last night. They didn't hit.
Just a knock?
The whole team didn't hit.
Just a base?
For those two against lefties? Life Jack for you out there.
Jackson here with another Life Jack.
I like the hits run RBI total for those two. You take two plus?
Two plus hits runs RBI.
Yeah, so like you get on base and you score, boom, two.
So check that
box right there. No, I mean, I don't think
they were
did
combined
anything.
Over six.
Ref Snyder worked a nice leadoff walk. I'm like, Romy, knock him in.
Yeah.
Knock him in. Let's check some boxes. Nope, didn't happen.
Roman Anthony is smooth 0 for 5.
He's smooth, though.
He might be the most unlucky hitter in baseball right
now. He
stings some of them. I mean, he drilled that one at Neto last night where he got hurt, which he did rip.
Yeah.
He also had his
hit
worst.
On the screws, though.
He did. His worst at bat, for all the credit he gets, and my God, does Brooksy give him a lot of credit on these TV broadcasts.
Sure
he's going
does.
On, and boy, he takes a good at bat. Sitting 100 or whatever he's hitting, but boy, does he take a good at bat.
Yeah, that's a competitive 100. Like, but when you're really watching these
games. His worst at bat, hands down, non-competitive, awful at bat, was two nights ago with the bases loaded just as the Drew Holiday trade was breaking.
That was bad.
That was a brutal at bat.
Sacks were packed.
So, like, you can tell me all you want about how good his at bats are. He's still not hit. I believe in him as a prospect, but, like, let's be on the level. Like, he's not hitting. And when he was in the biggest spot the other day, he could have won him a game. He had his worst at bat that he's had in a Red Sox uniform.
Now they need
all due respect to the entire Anthony family.
We love
them all.
The whole squad.
Big fans. But yeah, brutal at bat.
They need Bregman back in the worst way. Like they desperately need Bregman.
I was like, lose game 7-6.
Well, look, Keith.
Yeah, that's right.
Bregman wasn't there last night, but you know who was?
Who's there?
Bregman's agent.
Yeah, I saw him. He had great seats. How'd he get those?
He was in the house.
He was like basically on the field.
Tim Healy of the Globe. Talk to him. I think we actually have Will discussing this on our broadcast
night. Little Scotty Boris.
So we'll have Will pass along the info from Tim Healy, or I guess Scott Boris via Tim Healy.
Boston Globe's great Tim Healy was down there talking to Boris through the netting, and now we know why. And I'm very happy he asked this question of Scott. Apparently, Alex Bregman wide open to contract renegotiations with the Red Sox. I think it was always going to be the case, but particularly once they moved on from Raffy, it's not that hard to see that it's Meyer and Anthony and Campbell, but in the medium term, this is going to be Alex Bregman's team.
All right. Well, so Jeff Passanam traded, so hopefully he's not getting dealt away.
Well, I have more on that. McAdam.
I'd rather them re-sign him.
McAdam had some insight on that. But, like, no, I'd rather they just go forward with the contract that they have.
Yeah, I don't know why you need to rip up the current deal that you have.
Bregman and Boris, go ahead and opt out. See if you're going to get $40 million somewhere else. I love Bregman. You know me. I wanted him more than I think anybody. I wanted him this offseason. I want him here. I wanted Devers out. But, like, you want to renegotiate now?
Didn't the same thing happen with his old teammate, Carlos Correa, when he went to the Twins? He was looking for, like, a 10-year deal.
Yeah.
He got, like, a 1-1-1 at, like, crazy money. And then the next year, he's like, yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah,
I'll be back.
Well, that was the thing, because he was failing physicals from other teams.
Well, that was a whole mess even after the fiasco. That's true. That also happened to him.
Boris and Bregman, go ahead and opt out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. Go ahead. Of course you'll renegotiate right now. You want the term that you couldn't get last offseason because Bregman's probably not thrilled with the contract. He had a tuck tail and sign here.
Do you think John Henry's going to give out another one of these contracts?
No, I like the contract they have with Bregman right now.
Just leave it.
And by
the way,
they
got to figure out the rest of their team.
I like Bregman. And again, I wanted him on this team. I think it was a great signing. But am I lining up to pony up more than $40 million for a guy who just missed 2 months?
Like, how many years does he want?
Right. Seriously.
Yeah, why don't you get healthy first?
If you're Bregman, would you leave money on the table just to get away from this team?
No. I wouldn't.
$1 million.
Yeah, but if it's like, let's say it's 30 in a state where you're not
taxed
as much at all.
You're going to take $10 million. Okay, well, tell me what the take home is. But let's play. You're going to leave $40 million on the table to take 30 from a winner. Bregman won't do it.
See, I
wouldn't if I were him.
I think he likes Cora, and I think he likes the young guys on the team, and he likes that role. I think he would stay here.
He's also won.
No, I know.
So like the need to like run around and you don't need to go run around and chase rings. He's already won. And if I'm Bregman, I look at it as like I can be a winner here.
Yeah.
Now, maybe there's a sobering reality of how the first few months have gone here in Boston, and maybe he'll talk it out, but he's not getting more money elsewhere.
So you believe this from the text line?
That's just Boris playing the game that he plays as an agent, which I don't blame him for playing, but he's like, oh, yeah, we're open. We're open to do a 10-year deal right now. It's like, of course the agent wants to talk about a 10-year deal right now.
Of course. The text line saying the only reason Boris said that is so that when Bregman does opt out, they can say, well, we tried. They just don't want
to
pay us.
I don't think Boris cares about stuff like that, to be honest.
He just wants the most money.
I don't think Boris cares about that PR game at all.
Yeah.
I think he just wants to get his client the most money. Can I hear Sean McAdam? This is McAdam, unless you had anything else on that, Keith.
No.
Sean McAdam on the Fenway Rundown podcast with Chris Cotillo.
A lot of podcasts out there.
They were reacting to the Jeff Passan item that you just had, Keith, which is Bregman was number one on the 50 candidates to move at the deadline.
Yeah.
Duran was number two. McAdam, as you'll hear, brushes aside the idea that Bregman could get dealt pretty quick, but he does expand on Duran.
I see next to no chance of Bregman being dealt. I see there being a decent chance that Duran goes, and here's why. And by the way, trading Duran would not be a white flag, we're in sell and auction mode. I think they would be looking for some immediate help. We know that there is already a crowded outfield situation. Sidan Rafaela has, I think, earned his time and retains his spot in center field. Abreu is someone they don't want to give up, a Gold Glove winner who is still getting better offensively, and Roman Anthony. You can't have those four outfielders on the team and keep them all happy with playing time and or develop Anthony at the big league level.
Right.
So the notion of Duran being traded would not surprise me in the least. I don't think it would represent any sort of we're out, we're auctioning, there's a fire sale. I think it would be done sort of in advance of a trade that they would otherwise make in the offseason with an eye toward trying to get better over the final 2 months.
All right, so with Jaren Duran, it wouldn't be a salary dump by any means because he's not making a lot of money.
Makes $4 million or whatever.
But if you end up trading him for prospects, that is a white flag.
Correct.
That's 100% that. That one is all about the return. Now, if you trade him to, we made this up yesterday, but if you trade him to Seattle for a top-end starting pitcher, that is we think we have four good outfielders. We're trading one of them to help our pitching staff. We're still in it.
Yeah, we're balancing our roster because it's imbalanced. Too many lefties, too many outfielders, not enough pitching.
And
so,
they might also project, you know, they have a lot of young outfielders, and maybe they think last year for Jaren Duran was the best you're ever going to get out of Jaren Duran, and maybe they feel like, all right, it's in our best interest to – unfortunately, you're not selling high on that. But I think teams, it's not that far removed that teams can at least talk themselves into it. So maybe you get a good return. But there's no way to, if you trade him, you're like, wow, we just needed to, you know, break up the log jam in the outfield. It's like, well, then you're just punting on the season if you get nothing back or nothing that's going to help this team this year.
And look, I like
Roman. They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
I'm coming to understand that.
Starting to feel like that.
when it comes to Roman Anthony, like, I'd be careful of trading Durant. I don't like that they're it sounds like, according to McAdam, they like Abreu more than Durant. I don't like that.
Do you think
unless I'm missing something behind the scenes, like, I'm annoyed Durant's running into out after out after out and oversliding the bag a couple nights in a row, although he was right on the bag last night, to his credit,
yeah,
when he took the extra base. But unless I'm missing something behind the scenes that I don't get, and maybe I am.
It's like, possible.
It wasn't always there with Devers in until fact, it was likely. Right in your face. Yeah, okay, fine. So if I'm missing something, then tell me what it is. But on the surface, just watching them as players, I don't like that the Red Sox seem to feel better about Abreu than they do about Duran. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And I would caution them on, well, we have too many outfielders. Did you just learn nothing from the Christian Campbell experience?
Yeah.
I like Campbell. I do.
Yeah.
Campbell came out of the gates hot as a pistol.
Oh, rookie of the month.
And is back in Worcester before the midway point of the year.
Learning another position.
Roman Anthony is not hitting at all, other than rockets at infielders, I guess, if you want to get into that.
He smoked that one.
A lot of good at-bats. I can only hear so much about the good at-bats
before
there's
production. Just a good scouting report on him.
And so,
should have had a walk in the first inning.
Are you going to?
Yeah, good point.
Near walk. Wow, near walk. Good for him.
Good eye on him.
So if they're going to trade Duran to make room for Anthony to be an everyday player, what if in a month Anthony's hitting 100 and they got to send him back down?
He is hitting 100, and it's been a month. So is he going to be the starting outfielder the rest of the season, you think?
Yes. Anthony? I mean, I think that, but I would allow for a worst-case scenario where he goes the way of Christian Campbell, and he needs to go back down to AAA for more seasoning. It happened to Mike Trout. It could happen to this guy.
At least with Campbell, he started hot, then went cold. Anthony's just cold.
This guy's never been hot.
No.
Never.
Well, not Worcester.
Well, no, I'm sorry.
He's socking the ball over Puller Park
in the bigs.
Hit a 500-foot home run before he got called up.
So I'm with you, Keith. It depends on the return for Duran to say whether or not it's waving the white flag. If it's a bunch of prospects, they're absolutely waving the white flag.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And if it's a high-caliber starting pitcher, now you're making room in the outfield, and oh, by the way, Yoshida's on the way back someday, somehow, okay, fine, well, come talk to me. But in a vacuum, I don't like the idea of trading Jaron Duran, and I really don't like the idea of prioritizing Abreu over Duran, unless again, there's something behind the scenes. No, I agree.
The season he's having is making it all right. No, but like making the idea of trading him not like outrageous.
Because
if he was anywhere as good as he was last year, it'd be like a no way in hell would you deal
him. He's not playing well.
It's been such a drop off.
He's not playing well, which is indisputable. You can't even debate it. But I think he's closer to, if not what we saw last year, closer to what we saw in 2023 before he got hurt.
Yeah.
If you want to like kind of split the difference. I think he's closer to that player than what we've seen.
Yeah,
and that's my belief. I don't know, but we can't debate what he's done. He's been awful. He's been bad. He's regressed in the field. Mm-hmm. He's running into outs every night. He's not hitting for any power. He's been an average player, not the MVP candidate, All-Star Game MVP he was a year ago. And maybe he isn't that, but I'd wager on him being better than he's shown. And if I'm missing something behind the scenes, he's a bad teammate. He's refusing to move around the field. He's MFing coaches like the last Tubelard they just traded.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay. I mean, let me know what that is, and I can be talked into trading Duran. But I don't want to do that right now. 617-779-7937. You can weigh in here all day long on Jones and Keefe. We have Terp with Pure Hoops at high noon, the return of Justin Turpin. NBA draft is tonight. Celtics may have more moves up their sleeve. We'll get his thoughts on the returns for Porzingis and Drew Holiday and what else is in store. Plus, it's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Lane.